Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. A lot of us seem to experience odd and unexplainable things in our everyday lives. More often than not, we try to forget about it and move on with our lives. Most can agree that no one has time for these ghostly specters in their homes or some unknown creature stalking their yard. Today, my good friend Vitif22 helps me share these 5 subscribers' creepiest experiences with unexplained outcomes. If you have a story that you can't explain and would like to share it on the show, be sure to send it in to swampdweller.net or to the email that's in the description down below. If you enjoy my friend Vitif22's voice, please subscribe to him. You can find his channel in the description down below. Let's get into these unexplained stories. In 1998, I was stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado in the U.S. Army. I had a friend, his name was Frank, that I lived with in some barracks. Frank had a rough 18 years of life being raised in the projects of Washington, D.C. He was involved in a gang called the Crips, and on this particular evening, he had recently lost a friend back home who was killed by a rival gang. Upset and distraught, he came to my room in the barracks, begging me if I could take him for a ride just to get away. Living in the barracks could be really boring, and it was even worse if you didn't have a vehicle to drive around in. I just so happened to be one of those few individuals who had a vehicle, so I was constantly being asked by people in the barracks to take them somewhere. Oftentimes, I was forced to tell people no, because if you always said yes, people would constantly be at your door trying to borrow your vehicle or get them a ride. This evening, I felt real empathy for Frank and his loss. I remember him telling me, "Let's go to the Gold Camp Road." The Gold Camp Road was once an old railroad that led up into the mountains above Colorado Springs. The railroad had been long gone, and it was converted into a road for tourism that led into the front range of the Rockies. The road had a long history of violence and death, and of being very haunted, especially the railroad tunnels on the road that literally went through the mountains. I agreed to give Frank a ride and told him I would come to his room in a few minutes. I quickly put on a light jacket and some running shoes and a pair of shorts. I remember before leaving, I noticed a weather report on the TV, and the meteorologist was giving a stern warning not to go into the mountains this evening due to a low front moving in from the northwest, causing wind chill temperatures 25 below zero with blizzard-like conditions. Being a 19-year-old fit soldier, I thought that I could take on the world and there was no way a blizzard was going to destroy my plans. I met up with Frank, and as we were walking to my tiny two-wheel drive Chevy S10 pickup truck, the cold north wind was already ripping through my light jacket like razor-sharp knives and was chilling me to the bone. The Gold Camp Road was about a 20-minute drive off the post, and we had no issues getting there, other than a few strong wind gusts that attempted to blow my little truck off course. The Gold Campsite, despite having some creepy ghost stories in the old scary railroad tunnels, also had some really awesome picturesque overlooks. My favorite one was near the top of the highest point of the Gold Camp, which not only allowed you to see most of Colorado Springs, but also allowed you to see the winding Gold Camp Road several miles in either direction. I and Frank decided to stop there and burn down a pack of cigarettes, and just lay back and chill, taking in the beauty of the city below. This outlook had a small-sized parking area, and after sitting there for about 30 minutes with the heater on full blast, the night came on suddenly. It was then that we started to notice a few snowflakes whipping around in the breeze. These few snowflakes should have been my cue to get out of Dodge and head home. But we decided to stay and kick back smoking a few more clouds of smoke before heading back down the mountain and back to the post. Suddenly, the snow picked up and a few snowflakes became millions in no time. The small gravel parking lot started getting covered with a blanket of snow. The parking lot was small and had a slight incline, and attempting to pull out almost puts you in the ditch on the opposite side of the road. Seeing the situation becoming more and more dangerous by the minute, I decided it was time to get back to the post. However, being fairly new at driving a gear shift, I accidentally popped the clutch when I tried to put my truck in reverse, and it caused my S10 to slide, knocking my rear passenger side tire right off that little ditch across the road. Quickly putting it in first gear, I tried to drive forward, but my little truck didn't have the power to free me from being stuck. To make things worse, it was at this point that I noticed my gas gauge needle was right on the E. "That's just great," I thought. Frank had the idea of trying to rock the truck while the other got out and pushed. I remember stepping out of the truck, and my bare hands immediately started freezing. I'm a very big man, and I tried with all my might to push and lift the truck back onto the road, but it was to no avail. This thing was not coming free. After several attempts of both me and Frank trying to get the wheel out of the ditch, we noticed the wheel had dug a deeper rut in the icy mud, making a serious situation even more serious. Gold Camp Road is often a busy road, but on this night there was no one on this road. Apparently, people had watched the weather reports and weren't stupid enough like me and Frank to go up and decide to drive in the mountains during a blizzard. Seeing that the snow was worsening by the minute, and after about 20 or 30 minutes of trying to get the truck free, panic began to set in, as I knew my truck was going to run out of gas and we would freeze to death. I remember looking desperately down both directions on the Gold Camp, and there was no one. Attempting to push again, I decided to say a little prayer to myself. "Please God, don't let me die up here." Immediately as I thought those words of that prayer, I heard a truck door slam behind me, and in shock, I turned and saw this old chubby man standing there with a friendly grin on his face. It was as if he appeared out of nowhere. I remember Frank was just as perplexed as I was. Neither one of us saw any headlights coming up on the Gold Camp in either direction for miles. The man, strangely enough, reminded me of Santa Claus. He had a chubby frame, a flowing white beard, a long ruffled white hair. The man had a very cheerful and happy demeanor, and despite the circumstance, didn't seem to have a care in the world. "Oh my, that is really bad indeed," he said. "I tell you what, you young men just get in the truck and get warm, and I'll get you out." Puzzled, I replied, "Sir, not to be rude, but I'm a big guy and I couldn't get it to budge, so I don't know if you'll be able to." "Now, young man, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move the mountain." "Well, okay." So I jumped in the truck, and what happened next still puzzles me to this very day. This chubby little man literally picked up the entire back of the pickup truck off the ground and moved it so my tires were back on the road again. Frank, spooked by this man's incredible feat, yelled out, "Did you see that? He just picked up the truck!" Relieved and happy, I quickly grabbed my wallet to give the man a few dollars for the trouble. He quickly replied, "Young man, I have no need for your money, as I have no use for it. Now, if you drive straight ahead and take your time, you'll get to the gas station at the bottom of the mountain." I remember after he said this, I looked at my gas gauge with a little doubt, as I knew that that gas station was at least 5 miles. "Faith, friend, have faith," was his last statement before he kind of faded off with a cold north wind. I then said, "Well, sir, thank you once again." At that moment when I looked up at him to thank him, I swear on everything I know, he was gone. It was as if he vanished into thin air. There was no old man and there was no truck. He was just gone. There were no tire tracks other than my own. Fearful that he may have slid off the side of the mountain, I and Frank got out and looked around in the darkness, and there was nothing but flakes of snow dancing all around in the cold night air. I took his advice and drove slowly down the mountain and made it to the gas station just as the old man had predicted. When I and Frank were traveling back to the post that night, we got to thinking about what had just happened. Upon thinking back, we realized, despite the man having a very friendly and warm demeanor, he seemed to radiate warmth as we both sensed when he was near us. We didn't feel that bitter cold wind from the blizzard. Secondly, how did he know the truck was out of gas? I never mentioned that. The last odd thing we encountered, other than his sudden appearance and disappearance, was the way he told us to travel. It was definitely not the way he came in, because he did not tell us the roads. The only explanation that I can think of, all these years later, was the stranger in the storm was an angel sent by God to protect us, many miles away from home. What do you guys think?
I'm not sure if this is what you would consider terrifying, but it is certainly bizarre. I don't know if it's astral projection, but what I do know is that many times throughout my life, I've left my body, usually during sleep, flying to unknown places. I met people on my journeys. They're usually folks that are in need of something. Let me preface this by saying I am a middle-aged man, and I've had experiences with the paranormal all my life. I have dealt with the ghosts, demons, and angels. I know it sounds unbelievable, but it's true. During one of my out-of-body experiences, I was flying over Casper, Wyoming, when I literally slammed into a young lady who was also flying over the city. She told me she was sent to find me. I was a little more than confused, to be honest. I asked why she was sent to find me, and she replied her mother sent her because she needed my help. The next thing I know, my alarm clock was going off and I was back home. I just assumed I had dreamt the whole thing. 3 days later, my car stalls in front of a small apartment building. I go up to one of the units to see if I could use their phone to call my boyfriend. Now keep in mind, this was before cell phones were a thing. I knock on the door and nearly fall backwards in shock. The person standing at the door was the same girl I ran into before. She looked at me with the same look of shock and confusion and whispered my name. I simply nodded yes and said, "You must be Zoe." She invited me in and introduced me to her mother. Her mother was more than excited and bewildered to see me, as she had been looking for me. A friend of hers had told her that I could help her find a loved one she had been trying to find. I happened to know the loved one and was able to reconnect the two after nearly 10 years. Now fast forward about 5 years or so. I was living in Denver, Colorado, when I was once again out of my body and flying over the industrial part of the city when I landed in an alley. I met a woman with flaming red hair and was dressed in a leather-type catsuit. I will call her Joan for privacy's sake. Anyway, Joan told me God has sent me to help her with her ministry. She was a minister for the gay community at the time. I thought that was obscure considering I was a gay man, and why would God want me to help her ministry? Exactly 3 days later, I was at work waiting tables, when all of a sudden, guess who comes to the door of the restaurant but Joan. She walked right up to me and handed me her business card. She winked at me, called me by name, and insisted I call her after I got off of work. Out of curiosity, I did. I was apprehensive at first, but figured there had been a reason we had met 3 days after that event. Joan told me she had a dream. She was fishing, and God spoke to her, telling her that she was about to reel in a fish, like she had never seen before. She said God told her I was exactly what she needed for her ministry. That's when I knew it was more than just a dream. I told Joan about my experiences with the paranormal, and how I would meet others on these flights, and then meet them in person exactly 3 days later. Joan told me I was very prophetic and a gifted seer. I kind of laughed it off at first, She told me about her ministry and that she was a deliverance minister. She told me that she had dealt with demons, and that is why she needed me. I was uncomfortable with the idea, to say the least. I had what she called the gift of discernment. This is one of the reasons I was always under demonic attack, because they know I know their names, and that is why they had never been able to touch or harm me in any way. When I would have those run-ins with the demons, I would call them by name and send them away. Fast forward a few weeks, Joan asked me to sit in on a deliverance session she was going to have with a young drag queen from the neighborhood. I reluctantly agreed to do so. When I arrived, I was surprised to see that the drag queen was a coworker of mine. As the session began, this tiny little flamer of a guy began to speak in multiple voices. I literally began to climb the back of the couch and up the wall to get away from this guy. Joan began to talk to this demon and demanded it leave this young man. The demon hissed and laughed at her, telling her she had no authority. Joan spoke calmly yet firmly. She informed the demon its name gave her authority over it. Again, it laughed and mocked her. It refused to give her its name. Keep in mind, I am still against the wall, watching all of this utter horror. This was not Hollywood. This was fucking real, and my heart was pounding so bad, I thought it would shatter my ribcage. Then, out of nowhere, the demon's name popped into my head. And without even a thought, I yelled out its name. That's when the realization of why I was there hit me, like a freight train. I stepped off the couch and stood next to Joan. I was still shaking like a leaf, but again, I spoke the demon's name. Joan then continued with her deliverance session, and using the demon's name was able to drive it out of the poor little guy. Now I know this all sounds like something straight out of Hollywood, and I would rather it was. However, these are all actual and factual events. I have so many more stories to share with all of you, but that's saved for another time. Back to my original question. So is what I experienced while flying astral projection or something else? Can anybody help me figure this out?
For some background information, I am a 24-year-old male. I live in northern Canada, and this experience happened to me when I was 22. I was heading back to my house from my friend's place. My friend lived about 18 kilometers away from the city I live in at the time this experience occurred. It was a cold summer night, and I was heading down the highway on my motorcycle. One part of this highway gets really dark, and you can barely even see the road. This was unfortunately my downfall, as my motorcycle hit a really bad pothole in the road and wrecked. I was injured and in shock. I got up and started walking. It was pitch black, the type of darkness where you can barely see your hands in front of you. I could hear the usual sounds of nature, wolves howling, foxes crying, and even the sounds of coyotes in the woods surrounding the road. I had walked for 4 hours, and I finally got to the corner of the highway that you take to head into town. This part of the road has a fair stretch of streetlights, which give you an extra sense of relief and comfort. As I walked along the now well-lit road, I started to get really tired from how long I had walked, but the pain from my accident kept me awake and made me desperate to get home soon. I was just about to pass a local construction company's yard when I noticed the air had gotten really still and quiet. So quiet that you could hear a pin drop from a mile away. Then I heard a noise that surprised me. It sounded like a splashing noise, which would make sense. There was a marsh near this part of town. I stopped and waited to hear another sound. Yet, another splash came from the darkness. I froze and I felt my blood start rushing from fear and adrenaline. I reached for my phone and activated the flashlight feature to get a better look at the source of the noise. What I saw next was utterly bone-chilling. What my flashlight illuminated was an ashy figure that was crouched on a boulder near the edge of the marsh. It looked emaciated and very unnatural. Shaking at this point, I called out and said, What the hell are you? It slowly turned its head and stared back at me with a haunting, empty eye. It seemed to glow a deep crimson color. Then it let out this horrifying scream that sounded like a cross between the roar of a mountain lion and the scream of the ring race from Lord of the Rings. I started running as fast as my body would let me go, as I could hear it splashing behind me, no doubt chasing me. I pulled out my knife, preparing to fight for my life, but then it stayed just out of reach for me. When I hit the streetlights, it seemed not to want to hit the light. I could see it slowly skulking in a predatory style. But just as I thought I was going to lose my life to this creature for sure, a pair of headlights came over the horizon and shone on the creature. It then cried one more time before running off into the night. I haven't seen it ever again, but one thing is for sure. I make sure I always walk with a friend anywhere at night. This happened several years ago in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I was about 22 years old and working in a medical warehouse with three other staff. One of them had called in sick, so there was only two of us this day. We had half top floor and full bottom floor. Also, the front part of the office, which had an additional 8 staff, but they hardly came to the back of the warehouse, so we never saw them. We would call the other guy Dan. It was about 1 in the morning, and we were pulling orders out to be shipped. Dan was packing them, and I was packing them as well. We were on a roll and almost complete of all the orders, when Dan had called up to the second floor, where I was. I had just put a pallet product up there weighing about 500 pounds. I had lowered and pulled the pallet jack out and lowered the jack, so it wouldn't roll away. Dan asked me to get a couple cases off the pallet. I walked to the end of the floor and looked down towards him. It was about 15 to 20 feet down. I had asked Dan if I had heard him right, and he replied yes. He said hurry up and then we'll give a smoke break and get some coffee. I was in the midst of telling him something. Then all of a sudden the pallet jack had moved. I looked behind me to see if someone was there, but to my surprise, there was no one. He shook his head, and just then the jack moved about 5 feet all of a sudden. I got freaked out and I had noticed by the jack that it got dark, like a shadow of a person was there. Dan had asked me again who was up there. I told him it was just me and I couldn't see anybody but a shadow. He walked backwards to see if he could look up and see. I was looking at him and then I blacked out all of a sudden. Jumping to what I had remembered and what Dan had told me, Dan came running up the stairs toward me and I was laying on a broken pallet. I had scratches on my arms too. Dan was calling my name and trying to wake me. I looked up towards him and asked him what the heck happened. Dan told me, "You were looking down towards me and didn't look like yourself. Your eyes were black and you had a pale look. Then you had threatened me and started walking towards me with a look of hatred in your face. And then you fell over." We both got up and took off in a hurry. We got coffee and went back off to the warehouse. I felt very dizzy, drained, and exhausted all in the same time. I'm not sure what happened to me. Maybe one of you guys can explain it. So this isn't my story, but my best friend's. She told me about her uncle, that is, her stepdad's brother, and how sketchy he was. There's always one questionable uncle in every family, isn't there? My friend said that a few years ago, whenever she would meet up with her step-uncle, he would always give her the creeps. He would say things like, "The wife and I are going to the trailer for a week, and you should come along. Oh, my wife is only going to be there for a couple of days, but you're welcome to stay as long as you like." Not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but the way he said it made her feel really uncomfortable. He would bring her presents all of the time, and find any excuse to be alone with her. She said that he would often come by her tattoo shop when there was no one else around, despite living an hour away. There was only one door to that shop, So, she would often be stuck in there either until closing time or until step-uncle decided to leave. And when he hugged her, his hands would go too low, and his hug would last too long. I can't remember if I ever met this guy, but I was very familiar with my friend's stepdad, and I never cared for him either. So safe to say that it isn't a stretch to imagine this. What makes me angry is that my friend finally confessed to her stepdad and told him what had been going on and how it upset her. But the guy didn't even believe her. Nothing was done, because good old uncle was just trying to be nice, and my friend was quote-unquote overreacting. About 3 years ago, my friend's life became so much more difficult. Her mother suddenly passed away, which was very sad for everyone involved. With all the stress and grief involved, my friend was at her wit's end. Her mother's memorial service was held at a home, and the entire family came by to give their condolences. My friend was lost in all of it. Not sure what to think. Of course, Uncle was there. Sometime during the service, he came up to her, gave him one of his two long hugs with the two low hands, and whispered in her ear, "I dream of you." My friend said she sat on the porch and couldn't function for hours. It's super creepy, and really can't explain why this guy acts this way. I think he might be some sort of psychopath or sociopath or something. He just seems like he has this evil presence. This may seem far-fetched, and you may think it sounds a little crazy, but here goes. I'm not crazy, by the way. There's a lot of context behind this to tell my mentality that what I saw was not a form of sleep paralysis. The first time I saw a UFO was 10 years ago. I saw it with my sister. It was triangular and had white lights under each corner. The interaction alone was weird enough, but I don't want to dive too much into it. Essentially, I have had experiences with alien crafts and paranormal things, though you guys should know at first, I didn't believe in these things. I thought they were just weird coincidences. Now back to what happened. Last year, in 2017, sometime in November, I took a trip to a games convention. A group of friends and I rented out a motel room while we were down there for a week. This happened on the first night we were there. I was sleeping in the same bed as my partner at the time. Now, I have had experiences in sleep paralysis my entire life. I don't think anyone could convince me otherwise that what I saw was anything to do with sleep paralysis. I remember obviously sleeping, but I don't remember any dreams. Out of nowhere, I suddenly woke up, but I didn't open my eyes. I had this strange and odd feeling about my surroundings. I knew immediately something wasn't right. Still with my eyes closed, I felt this pressure on the side of my head. I was sleeping on my left side. It was right at my temple, and it felt like someone was pushing their finger onto it. While this was happening, simultaneously I remember answering questions. I don't know what they were, but I was responding and giving answers. It felt as though it was through my subconscious. In my head, I saw this blast of color from a dark void. It looked like gas clouds. Many clouds, actually. Colors of orange, white, and purple. I think those were the colors anyway. It also had stars through it. That alone freaked me out. I couldn't move at this point, and my eyelids were incredibly heavy. As I started to attempt to open my eyes, I could see something standing right next to me. I looked up as much as I could. And to my horror, that's when I saw it. Right next to me, this big black-eyed alien was staring at me. The motel room was dark, but from what I saw, this being had greenish-brown reptile-like skin. It didn't look like a crocodile, but you could tell it was reptilian. It had massive, black almond eyes slanted upwards and had a small head. It didn't exceed too far beyond its eyes. He had this suit on, which was changing colors, almost like he managed to get into some sort of morph suit. Think of kind of like Mystique from the X-Men. Needless to say, I freaked the heck out. My first reaction was to fight it off. I managed to lift my arms as much as I could and started to sluggishly fight it off. I backed away slightly and turned to the left, then proceeded to walk down towards the end of the bed. He was only around 4 feet tall. It felt as if my entire body was vibrating, not the kind of vibration you get from a PS4 controller. It was like a bass from a car. I felt heavy. My entire body was vibrating, but I still managed to lift myself up from the bed and sit up straight. If I had to put another feeling to it, it felt like I was drugged. Like someone had two low speakers on either side of me blasting it, causing me not to be able to move. As I got up to the top to see where the alien went, I backed out. Woke up instantly afterwards, feeling rested and still in the same position as I was when I had my interaction with the alien. My boyfriend said he didn't feel or see anything at night, but he believed me. Needless to say, my mentality broke after that. I got into a severe depression, and my anxiety was so bad, I started to contemplate suicide. Thanks for watching this video. If you enjoyed these unexplainable stories, be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a lot. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and join the swamp? Turn on notifications as well to never miss another video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you'd like to hear in a future video, why not send it in to swampdweller.net, or the email that you can find in the description down below. I would appreciate it very much. What did you think of these stories? I'd love to hear so down below in the comments. Be sure to check out my friend Vitif22 as well. I think he has a great voice and you would enjoy some of the cool stuff he covers on his channel. He covers weird things from astral projection all the way to demons. See you guys soon with another creepy video.